AK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic
ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. The Senate kicked off a long night known as Votorama, working through an unlimited amendment process, all aimed at scaling down a budget resolution. It comes as President Trump marks his first month in office, the White House touting his efforts so far to cut funding and the federal workforce. The IRS today began laying off some 6,000 employees, the decision led by Elon Musk's Doge team. ABC's Rick Klein has more.
We've seen the Department of Government Efficiency go kind of department by department, and yes, the Internal Revenue Service is the latest to be hit. Elon Musk appeared on stage tonight at a conservative gathering with a chainsaw and said, look, the ultimate goal of all of this is to return more money to taxpayers.
The majority of states around the country locked in a deep freeze. Kansas City, Missouri hitting a wind chill of 24 below. Kentucky's governor says the death toll in his state rising to 15 from this week's back-to-back storms and flooding. Israeli police investigating a series of explosions in Tel Aviv today on buses. This is ABC News. New details emerging in the 2022 murders of four University of Idaho students.
New court filings reveal police believed Brian Koberger was potentially trying to destroy evidence. It was related to the murders, and that was the reason they moved in to arrest him when they did, and that he may have tried to get rid of emails. The revelation coming as an Idaho judge has rejected Koberger's attempts to have key evidence, including DNA and cell phone data, tossed out, claiming it was illegally obtained by police. The judge deciding instead that all of the evidence and witness testimony can be presented to jurors at trial this summer. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Jobless claims ticked up last week. 5,000 more Americans filing for first-time unemployment benefits than the week before. That was higher than projected. Analysts say the latest figures do not include the wave of government layoffs and expect those numbers will rise in the coming weeks. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Senate kicked off a long night known as Votorama, working through an unlimited amendment process, all aimed at scaling down a budget resolution. It comes as President Trump marks his first month in office, the White House touting his efforts so far to cut funding and the federal workforce. The IRS today began laying off some 6,000 employees, the decision led by Elon Musk's Doge team. ABC's Rick Klein has more.
We've seen the Department of Government Efficiency go kind of department by department, and yes, the Internal Revenue Service is the latest to be hit. Elon Musk appeared on stage tonight at a conservative gathering with a chainsaw and said, look, the ultimate goal of all of this is to return more money to taxpayers.
The majority of states around the country locked in a deep freeze. Kansas City, Missouri hitting a wind chill of 24 below. Kentucky's governor says the death toll in his state rising to 15 from this week's back-to-back storms and flooding. Israeli police investigating a series of explosions in Tel Aviv today on buses. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cold tonight, lows 0 to 5 below. Sunny and milder tomorrow, highs 15 to 20. Continued warming for the weekend, mostly sunny and around 30 Saturday, more clouds and upper 30s Sunday. We're at 18 right now.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is the Greg Gard Show, brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Badgers, Matt LePay.
We welcome you into this week's edition of the Greg Gard Show as the Wisconsin Badgers, winners of five straight, now getting ready for a Saturday matchup against the Oregon Ducks. Big game on the schedule, the latest big game on the schedule, and it should be a fun day for Badger fans as members of the 2000 Wisconsin basketball team that went to the Final Four will be in town and will be recognized on Saturday. On tonight's show, we'll do a little trip down memory lane. Kirk Penny, the assistant to the head coach, he was a freshman on that Badgers team, so he'll talk about some of his memories of that group. We'll also check in with Jack Janicki, who has been a key contributor, to say the least, for the Badgers this season, a redshirt freshman out of White Bear Lake, Minnesota. But as always, we begin with head coach Greg Gard, and I'd say that the hardest thing, or the thing that every program wants to do, no matter the sport, is start to play your best as you approach the end of the season. Now, there's still a quarter of the Big Ten schedule left, but right now, and maybe the best news that we've talked about before, as well as you guys are playing, your guys think they could still get better, correct?
Yeah, I think you always want that bar out there, that goal, so to speak. You know, if I have to keep moving the goalpost on them, I keep moving the goalpost, and they understand. It's a very mature and hungry group, and they know, you know, we got a lot left to play and a lot left to play for, and but I like how they've keep just a one game at a time, one day at a time mantra and mindset. I haven't had to reset them really ever all year. They've bounced back when we've taken a bump, and they don't get too out of sorts when we have success. So it's been, like I said, the maturity of this group really helps in both good times and bad times, because it keeps you on a level playing field.
Well, it seems like an example, one of many, of how good this team is, especially offensively. The first half, and you know, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I just saw it wrong, but it seemed a little herky-jerky the way the game was unfolding in the first half. And you have 47 points.
Right.
Against a good team. You know, I know they're dealing with some stuff at Illinois, but your guys' ability to, no matter what happens in the first half with turnover totals, it's going to be less in the second half. It's a pretty good knack.
Yeah, I think it's, again, the experience of them getting a feel, so to speak. It's kind of like a boxer going a few rounds and kind of sparring a little bit to feel each other out. You know, and obviously with their lineup changes and different things they were doing offensively, we couldn't get quite our sea legs underneath us, so to speak, early and defensively. And once we did and figured some things out, obviously we were able to continue to move the scoreboard, but then, you know, get some clamps on them defensively and get some separation. But that's one thing with this group. They just keep coming. They just, you know, the waves of offense. And if you're getting good shots, you keep shooting them. Don't get discouraged about missing good shots. And eventually, like I said, we strung possessions together. We were able to pull away in the second half.
It was interesting. And this is one of the three teams that you played twice. But, you know, we get to the arena and we find out Tomislav Ivicic is questionable. We're going, thought he was through the whole thing with the mono and all of this, and then he didn't start. Butchie brought it up before the game, and then you, when you visited with us after the game, like, it's easy to say, hey, one of their key players isn't starting, but you prepared for him, right? So it's a little adjusting on the run. What happened?
It is not only adjusting on the run, and obviously it completely, because their dynamics of how their team is, it put a much different lineup on the floor. And the other thing, a lot of time the team that is having, you know, or just down a man or two, it rallies them, and they play punch above their weight class at times. And, you know, again, it changes Illinois' dynamics in terms of who they have on the floor. They're much more mobile. They're, and not that Tomislav can't shoot threes, but he's a lot easier to keep up with than, you know, a Davis or a guy that Hamarachis, those guys that are moving around and sliding out of screens. So, like I said, it took us a little bit to kind of get our grips on them, but I like how we just kept being persistent. I think we were 1.3 plus both halves. So if you can score at that rate, and then defensively the second half, we got them under one, and obviously then the final score takes care of itself.
Steven Crowell gets attention because of his scoring output in the game against Illinois. But it seems, Greg, that he's been rebounding it pretty well, been doing a lot of things. You know, sometimes the scoring numbers are in the single digits. But I'll just ask you, you know, you go back to that first game, and you get asked about that a lot against Illinois. He's been better since, quite a bit. How would you assess how he has been here these last few weeks?
I think he's, you know, everybody on the outside looks at the scoring, but I look how he impacts winning in other ways. And obviously we play through him a lot in the post. We throw it in. Sometimes it organically finds its way in. Sometimes we intentionally set it up to throw it in, whether it's for him to score or him to distribute out. But I think his unselfishness allows us to play and with a freedom on the perimeter around him that we're going to throw it into him. And yeah, he's a pretty good threat to score. What are you going to do? Are you going to send help? Are you going to let him play one-on-one? Are you going to fully commit to a double team? And then his willingness to get the ball out and get it to the right spot. And then it's not only an assist that's right away racked up, but those extra passes that catch a defense in closeouts, in rotations, and then we end up with another drive and maybe a foul or a basket, or if it ends up not being a drive, just an open three somewhere else beyond that post touch.
I remember it just seemed like maybe well-schooled growing up, just naturally gifted with his ability to pass the ball. But remember, he's a scout teamer, and you've got guys like Reavers and Potter up on him, trying to trap him. Mm-hmm. But there is a calmness about him that he can not panic and get the ball to.
Yeah, and not everybody has that skill set. Some players we had here, you know, they think they see the devil when they see a post coming, trap coming. They're like, oh, and they can't get the ball out fast enough. But I think he too was a perimeter player growing up, so he had the ball in his hands a lot before the growth spurt kicked in. So he's much like, you know, Kaminsky was like that too. He'd played point guard and then all of a sudden grew and had to figure out how to play in the paint. So Steve's calmness with the ball, he doesn't get rattled, he may not throw it to the right color jersey every once in a while, but by and large he's under control and calm in there.
It's hard to come up with something new about John Tanjay, but when you're scoring 63 points over the last two games, he's done things, Greg, with, you know, he's the first Badger to have 30 plus in consecutive games since Michael Finley. The Arizona game, he's on the brink of Kaminsky's single game record. He's getting comps with two guys who have banners
here. Yeah.
I don't know how anybody could know that he would be this good, but you've said this many times, it's probably worth circling back. He didn't come in thinking he knew everything about everything.
No, I think that's been his biggest trait is his humility and just how he's approached it, knowing he's got another challenge in front of him the next day and the next day after that, and he's willing to be coached and he listens and asks good questions and knows he needs to get better and has a desire to get better. So that's two different things, you know, and having a desire to get better and knowing you need to get better. Some people know they need to get better, but they don't have the desire to go do it and put the work in and ask the questions and those things. And John's been able to put all those things together. And, you know, I guess it either speaks to how tunnel visioned I am during games when I paid no attention to who's scoring what. In my mind, he's kind of done this in a quiet way. It hasn't been a lot of wow, wow, wow plays. It's just been the efficiency and the consistency. It ends up with a box score of having 30 or more points. But maybe fans that are watching the scoreboard move or watching individual scoring, which I don't for the most part, unless I see somebody really struggling, I get in on how efficient are we each possession. And obviously he's playing in a very efficient way right now, and that's a credit to him and obviously his teammates for helping all this come together.
I always feel like when a player here starts to get, when the name gets in the conversation for various awards, it's truly earned, because even Johnny 3 years ago, he wasn't, like, you knew he was good. I don't know how many other folks nationally thought, oh, wow, and he worked to earn himself that
right
position. Kaminsky 10 years ago. A lot of games left, I get it, but John is, at least he has truly earned it, because he's not the hey look at me guy.
Mm-mm.
It's just
no,
watch our team and how we go about it.
Yeah, and that's the first component I think that puts an individual in position to get attention, is they have to be on a really good team and win games, and when you're able to produce like he's producing and your team is really good, it adds an extra spotlight to you, so to speak. So it is, like I said, it's just he's the right fit at the right time. His maturity, his patience when he plays, for the most part, first half he gets a little impatient at times, but you know, once he settles in, he's obviously just the efficiency and the kind of understanding the hows and whys and whens are make him who he is.
And then he goes 9 of 10 at the free throw line.
It's that doesn't hurt either. Not only to be able to get there, but go cash in.
Wait, another guy who seems as the game goes on gets better far more often than not is Blackwell. Even the Purdue game last week, he did his scoring work in the second half, and he likes being that guy, right? The ball in my hands, it gets crunch time. And if it doesn't work, it's on me. And if it does work, then it's a great thing. But a lot of maturity there.
Yeah, and we saw that early. I probably saw his effectiveness with the ball. I go back to when we scrimmaged Northern Iowa in Platteville, and that one I started Kamari McGee at the point because Klez was still coming off an ankle injury and hadn't practiced consistently, and I'd gone through practice with Kamari and John in the lineup in the across the backcourt. But we had the ball, had him, John Blackwell, with the ball a lot in the last 8 to 10 minutes of those segments of scrimmage, and just his authority with it, and his a lot like you see him making plays in the back half of second half in games right now, just downhill in transition, finding gaps. He's utilizing his strength and his size at the rim. So that was kind of our first snapshot of, hey, I think we better take a very serious look at making him the more full-time ball handler, and it's obviously worked out very well.
All right, Badgers getting ready for the Oregon Ducks, 11 a.m. tip time at the Kohl Center on Saturday, and members of the 2000 Final Four team will be in the house as well. We'll take a break. We'll have more with Coach Gard coming up in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Saving money on remodeling your home at Menards. Start your tile project off right with DentShield Tile Backer from Georgia Pacific. It's proven to protect against moisture in your walls and subfloors, with a built-in water barrier, making it perfect to use in damp areas like kitchens and bathrooms. Plus, its easy-to-cut design makes installation a breeze. Save big on Georgia Pacific DentShield Tile Backer panels. On sale through March 2nd. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
When it comes to women's sports, there's no place like UW. Our women set the standard for elite performance. From the volleyball court to the hockey rink, every set, spike, and score pushes the boundaries of what's possible. UW Health mirrors this dedication to greatness. Our extraordinary team of doctors combines revolutionary research with compassionate care, setting the benchmark for healthcare across the country. So for the best care and the best athletics, it's easy. UW all the way. UW Health. Remarkable.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Need reliable waste and recycling services? Choose LRS. Driven by service and dedicated to sustainability, we're your partner in efficient waste management. Need more? We also offer convenient dumpster rentals and clean portable restrooms for any event or project. Trust LRS for all your waste needs. Visit LRSRecycles.com to sign up for service. That's LRSRecycles.com.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here,
reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance.
Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey Badger fans, basketball season is here and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the courtside celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin basketball games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
We continue with the Greg Gard Show. In a few minutes, we'll check in with Jack Janicki, as well as take a trip down memory lane with Kirk Penny. See, memory lane, he's special assistant to the head coach right now. He's a UW Athletic Hall of Famer. He was also part of that Final Four team in 2000. You know, we just recorded a television segment, but it speaks a lot of a program when you can have multiple Final Four reunions in the same season. Earlier in this season, obviously, we had all the Kaminsky and all those guys from the 14-15 runs, and to be able to go back to 2000. It's amazing how the game has changed, how the rules have been tweaked. The path to getting to the Final Four a little different than then as to what any team could probably take now, with rules being relaxed, offense being the thing. But that was, I know you were in another place at that time, right? But that was one of the more remarkable stories.
Yeah, it was in terms of the pack line defense. The West region wasn't ready for it.
They were not.
And I just, you know, I obviously watched that. We were at Milwaukee at the time at UWM and watched that run as, you know, they got some confidence and got going. John Bryant got hot. Obviously, and then defensively, they were able to, you know, really put the clamps on Arizona, LSU, you know, as they move forward. You know, and obviously the rematch, or I guess another game with Purdue in the regional final. Mm-hmm. Trying to think who they played in the
Sweet 16. It was LSU, and then in Salt Lake City they played a Jerry Tarkanian coach Fresno State team, and then
right.
The top seed
Arizona. Yep.
Gilbert Arenas, Richard Jefferson, Luke Walton were right on those teams. But you mentioned John Bryant, and that was it. Finally, and I should have figured this out much earlier in life, but watching that run told me that anything is possible. That Wisconsin team was 8-8 in the Big Ten, had to win its final three games to get to 8-8. John Bryant doubled his season scoring average en route to winning the MLP, Most Outstanding Player of the West Regional. He got hot. So if you're good enough and you defend like that team did,
right,
that's a great lesson for any of us. You got a shot. Right?
You do, and it goes back to, and we had talked about this on the TV show, just college basketball is different than really any other sport in terms of you're not playing a series. You know, it's not Major League Baseball 5-game series, 7-game series, or the NBA. And so if you play well for 40 minutes, or if you don't play well for a piece of that 40 minutes, I mean, the parity across our sport is never more evident than what it is when you get to the NCAA tournament. So if you get hot at the right time, you know, and you can keep it rolling and ride old Uncle Mo to the best of your ability, it really can turn into a memorable month.
I know it's been fun knowing that you and Dick Bennett have become, you know, really good friends over the course of time, and obviously guys who could talk ball but talk other things. So it'll be cool to see him back here.
Yeah, it will. I know he always enjoys coming back. He doesn't do it near as much, especially during the winter. Obviously, I think he stays pretty well buttoned up in his house, and he can't play golf. That's the other thing either. That's the, you know, so once the snow melts and the courses open, then it's much easier to get him out and get him moving around.
What do you think he agonizes more about? Some game that his team might have lost, or he just can't find that perfect driver to get off the
team? Yeah, the perfect driver. He's agonized about some games too, or that he's talked about with me, but he's definitely he subs his clubs a lot faster than he ever subbed anybody off the bench. I know that. He's in and out, moving those around and exchanging them, trading them in. He definitely keeps the golf shops in business.
That is so true. Tony Bennett alerted me on that years ago and said, yeah, he's probably at Nevada Bob's. Just go ahead and say it. That's where that's where he often is. I know I've mentioned this with you before, but when you were interim head coach Greg Gard, you talked about if that tag is removed, it's so important to connect with previous teams. And championship teams those are the natural ones, but it's all encompassing. That seems to me at a college level or even a pro level, something you got to do. You got to respect the past, that's been really important to you.
Yeah, no, it's definitely an important piece because it's a piece of who we are and why this program is where it is right now. You know, those guys love coming back and love being around it. You know, whether they fabricate some stories or if they just love coming back and seeing the younger guys and the current players and seeing how our facilities have changed and grown and improved, how the game has changed. I'll probably have a lot of those guys that played in blocker mover come up to me this weekend and say, man, coach, if I could have played in this offense. But, you know, it's just, like I said, that was what makes sport so fun and so memorable that you have, like we talked about earlier, they won't talk about any of the games. They'll talk about the bus rides, the card games in the hotels, the pranks they were playing on each other, and all the stuff that, you know, you couldn't talk about at the time. And those are the things that make it, like I said, create the relationships and create the bonds and keep people coming back.
It'd be interesting to see, just even from the Badgers' perspective in the last however many years, who embellishes a story the most? Like, who's the one who just...
Oh, there's probably a ringleader in every era, you know. The older guys, you know, the Tom Molaskis, that group, the Shoebrings, Jay Shell,
yeah.
That group is... They get perfect attendance all the time at any of our alumni events, and I'm sure they'll be around this weekend. But they can tell the stories. And if you get older than that, those that can remember the stories will tell them too. But it definitely, I think there's a lot of fabrication and, you know, you have to put your feet up, so to speak, around them because you better have your BS filters on because they will get it flying.
That is so true. It's just fun to sit back. I don't have to say a word. It's like, guys, go. And then they got stories that have you doubled over in laughter. Now, if only Oregon would just cooperate, come in here and lay down, but I'm guessing that's not going to be the case. And they won a tough one on Wednesday night against Iowa, held off the Hawkeyes. Easy to forget, I know you haven't, but for fans, you look at the overall record, they're 8-8 in the Big Ten. They were 15-2. Beat Alabama, yeah. Beat A&M. Their best is really good, isn't
there
it?
There are. Beat San Diego State. Mm-hmm. You look through their early season box scores, and then kind of like a lot of teams, sometimes you hit a little rough spot and have to figure some things out. But, man, it doesn't take long. You put on the film and start watching games, as I did yesterday. They're really talented. I mean, you can see why they started, whatever, 13-0 or 14-0 before they took their first loss. Really good guard play with Shellstad, and now they got Bartholomew, I think is his name, transfer from Colorado in the starting lineup. And then, obviously, the Biddle kid inside. He's not a kid. He's a grown man and big and shoots threes, block shots. I think he leads the Big Ten in block shots. And, you know, just and a lot of other complimentary pieces around. Brandon Angel, we recruited him twice, once out of high school and once out of the portal when he was leaving Stanford and couldn't get him off the West Coast. But, yeah, it's a really talented team, and obviously, you got a Hall of Famer coaching them, and Dana Altman. He's seen a thing or two in his days. So yeah, it'll be. We know what we're in for on Saturday morning.
You mentioned Biddle. He had, you know, the blocks that he had, including one that sealed the game. Josh Dix was going for the gusto, trying to hit a step back three for the win, and Biddle was able to reject that. He's their big. But you mentioned their guards. Their guards with some length too, right?
I didn't mention TJ Bamba. Yep. You know, he's one that really comes with some length, and then some other guys off the bench too. You know, Supreme Cook and Kwame Evans are on the front line. But like I said, when Shellstad gets it going, man, he's you know, their version of John Tanjay, smaller and different position because he plays at the point. But, you know, when that ball starts going in, I'm sure it looks as big as the ocean. The rim looks as big as the ocean to him.
Got about a minute left. Bamba hit a couple of threes against Iowa. He shoots like in the 20% range from three. It's happened. You guys have had guys do that. It's happened against you. How do you, like, there's certain guys are open for a reason, but you hit one or two and then the whole strategy maybe changes.
Yeah, and that's the thing about, you know, you look back at past history, he's shooting 17% before last night, 20% after last night. Go back and look at his stats at Villanova.
A little different.
A little different. So, you know, hey, we've seen others like it that you just, especially in the transfer portal world, we can see past history and see what did they produce. Did they shoot it better somewhere else and just haven't found the rhythm in their new spot, or are they a career low percentage shooter? But Bamba's not a career low percentage shooter. He's shot it well and just hasn't been able to get, you know, that rolling in that part of his game so far this year.
All right, we'll take a break a bit later. We'll check in with Kirk Penny. Coming up next, we'll visit with Jack Janicki, redshirt freshman guard for the Badgers. More to come as the Greg Guard Show continues on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends. Period.
That is
and
so well put.
And that matters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It might be cold outside, but we're back on the road to find out what makes Wisconsin great, including the American Burr Combiner.
Road trip!
It's the best ski race in the world. I'm Todd Alba. I'm taking you to the Burr Combiner and what it means for the state.
Normally, we're about 2,600 people during Berkey Week. That gets up to 20, 30,000.
Join us from Hayward, Wisconsin.
A special Todd Alba show Thursday and Friday.
At noon on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Matt Nair on air.
Oh, Randy Manor is here.
What can you do about this? Focus on what you can impact. Find the courage to speak up to your elected official. If you are silent, then your elected official at the local, state, or federal level will think you completely agree
with
whatever it is you're doing.
Silence equals acceptance.
Correct.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
It's Company SI and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
The Greg Gard Show continues as the Badgers continue to get ready for Saturday's game against the Oregon Ducks. In a few minutes, we'll visit with special assistant to the head coach and UW Athletic Hall of Famer Kirk Penny, who was a member of that 2000 Final Four team under head coach Dick Bennett. That group will be recognized during the game on Saturday against the Ducks. Right now, though, we stay with the present group, specifically redshirt freshman Jack Janicki out of White Bear Lake, Minnesota, who's had some big moments on big stages in this his redshirt freshman season. You go back to mid-November, the game against Arizona, hit a couple of threes against the Wildcats en route to a 9-point outing and a big win for the Badgers on the home floor. Well, last Saturday, another big stage, just on someone else's floor down at Mackey Arena against Purdue when Kabari McGee was ejected with about 6.5 minutes remaining in the first half. It meant extended time for Janicki, and he played very well. A career best, 11 points, hitting 3 threes in that game, and doing a lot of other things. The players have always had trust that he's in the right spot at the right time, pretty much without fail. But much like I asked Carter Gilmore after his 15-point game against Northwestern a couple of weeks ago, he's another guy the players have great trust in, does a lot of the little things, but you get more attention when you score. So like I asked Gilly, I asked Jack Janicki, what was it like for him after that game at Mackey Arena?
You know, you try and limit your screen time as much as you can after any game, but obviously it was nice to see the texts from people that matter, you know, parents, sisters, people that have been with me for a long time, and coaches and family like that. But you know, outside of that, you celebrate what you need to celebrate, which is who got you here and what got you here, and then other than that, it's just all gravy and we got to focus on bigger things.
Yeah, it's probably important to remind folks too, because I think a lot of fans are really getting into college basketball now, but this isn't the first time that you've done this, right? The Arizona game. Yeah. And so having done it already, and we know we talked several weeks ago that you felt about this time last year, like, hey, this is really starting to click for me. But having done it against Arizona probably didn't hurt, right? The confidence being out there.
No, I think our coaches have touched on it, and I think most of my confidence comes from being able to do things in practice, because that's the only opportunity that you're guaranteed every day. And, you know, the Arizona game was a good start for the season, and then obviously with what happened with Kill at Purdue, it just sort of made my role even more highlighted in a game like that. So I was just happy that I could step in his shoes and help the team win.
The shooting makes the highlights, but you're in there, you're up against Braden Smith, who's one of the best players in the conference. And give us a sense of where you feel you have come along on the defensive end of the floor.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he is a very good player, and he was still able to be so effective in how he got his teammates involved. But you know, as a team, we were really trying to dial in on him, because he's what makes them tick. And I think, you know, throwing a lot of different guys at him, whether it be John, who did a great job, and Killer, who did a great job for the brief moments he was in, it helped us sort of throw bodies at him and maybe get him a little fatigued, even though that's not really what he does. And then, even more important, I think our bigs did a great job helping out the guards in a lot of ball screen situations, just sort of making him be a little bit more passive. And yeah, our game plan by the bigs and the coaches was executed greatly. And then, you know, the guards just staying energetic and into the ball, we were able to sort of keep him at bay, and obviously helped us get the win.
When we talked a few weeks ago earlier in the season, you had mentioned, and your teammates have mentioned it as well, is that, you know, the desire to continue to get better defensively. I asked Coach Gard about it last week, and you guys got new faces. You know, if it's transfers, newer guys, so it probably made sense that it took a little time.
Yeah, of course. I mean, this year has been dominated by our offense in terms of, you know, what we've done and what people think of us. But I think at the same time, our defense has gotten so much better, just as even if you think about the UCLA game we had at the beginning of the month, which now seems like forever ago. I just think the ability for our coaching staff to you know, point out some shortcomings in our defense, and then more importantly, the ability for our guys to be mature enough and work on those things. As we continue to get better on defense, it just makes us more dangerous, because our defense can lead to our offense. So yeah, it's definitely been a point of emphasis. Just, you know, keep scoring, and then getting more stops will actually help us on offense as well.
You mentioned, you use the word mature, and that's what I think of when I watch all of you guys. Now, you have a lot of seniors. You're a redshirt freshman, but there's a poise, particularly in that environment you just played in, and the stakes are going to continue to go up. But watching a game, people can get nervous. When you're out there, you seem like you guys are really locked
in. I think the
in.
Least nervous people are the five that are on the court. Yeah. And, you know, that's by no accident. And it doesn't just, you know, that type of maturity isn't born, you know, on Mackey. It's day in, day out, you know, just looking at guys like Nolan or guys like Dan or anyone on our team who continues to stay in after practice. You know, that's maturity. Guys that come into practice and, you know, pay attention to scout and pay attention to what the coaches are saying, that's maturity. And then when you get into a game setting, you just sort of continue to fall on the pillars of trust and maturity that you've built the whole season. And, you know, going into the seventh best team's place and winning is, it sounds like, well, like kind of a feat, but it's just sort of the culmination of a lot of little things that our guys do in day in, day out.
Well, clearly you guys as a team are capturing the attention of more and more people.
Yeah.
But the most important thing, you guys in the locker room, how much fun are you guys having right now?
Man, this is a lot of fun. Like, it was fun last year, and I was wearing sweats and sweatshirts the whole time. And as the weather starts, the weather is not getting any warmer, but as the weather starts to hopefully get a little bit warmer and March shows up on the calendar, I mean, if you're not motivated to come in and practice, you're not motivated to come in and play, you kind of question how much you love basketball. So yeah, I think we're having a lot of fun, and I think the fun's only beginning.
Confirm this for me, because there's always this line, what comes first, the winning leads to the fun or the fun leads to the winning? I think with you guys, it's the fun leading to the winning, and you're enjoying it, or am
what gets you to winning is not always fun, but once the game starts, like practices should be harder than the games, and that's what I've felt since I've been here. And the games are the fun part. And you know, we've played 25 this year, we're 20-5. Every game has been fun and competitive, and that's what you sign up for when you come to play college sports. And it's been so much fun, and we got a lot in front of us, and we got two big tournaments that we know we want to do well in. So it's just about continuing to come in, and work hard, and naturally the fun will come because we continue to score a lot of points and win a lot of games.
That's Badgers redshirt freshman guard Jack Janicki. Stick around, more to come as we hear from Kirk Penny. Take you a trip down memory lane of that brilliant Final Four run 25 years ago. The Greg Gard Show will continue in a couple of minutes on the Badgers Sports Network from Learfield.
Need reliable waste and recycling services? Choose LRS. Driven by service and dedicated to sustainability, we're your partner in efficient waste management. Need more? We also offer convenient dumpster rentals and clean portable restrooms for any event or project. Trust LRS for all your waste needs. Visit LRSRecycles.com to sign up for service. That's LRSRecycles.com.
Badger fans, basketball season is here, and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the courtside celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin basketball games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
Badgers are born brave. They're not afraid to face a tough opponent or take on the impossible. At UW Health Carbone Cancer Center, our team of doctors take on cancer with that same Badger stamina. Where others step back, we step up, researching, treating, and defeating even the most complex cancers, making us the only NCI-designated comprehensive cancer center in the state. So now, from stadium to hospital, you can count on Wisconsin and UW Health to fight and win. UW Health Carbone Cancer Center. Remarkable.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road.
Drive drunk.
Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov.
Wisconsin DOT.
Hey Badger fans, it's Matt's Matt for Brew Pub, lots of Matza Pizza. Basketball season is here, and there's nothing that beats sitting and listening to a Badger game while enjoying a delicious Brew Pub pizza. Every game-winning shot and every sweet alley-oop deserves a pizza that's just as amazing. And you'll find that in a Brew Pub lots of Matza Pizza. Loaded with high-quality meat and veggie toppings, then bombarded with over half a pound of award-winning Wisconsin mozzarella cheese, Brew Pub pizzas are a swish of delish. Snag one today from your local grocery store or during home games in the concession stand at the Kohl Center.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
We continue with the Greg Gard Show with a look back 25 years ago. Dick Bennett's Final Four team of 2000. Current assistant to the head coach in UW Athletic Hall of Famer Kirk Penny was a freshman on that team, played in 34 games, didn't play a ton of minutes, didn't score a ton of points like he would end up scoring the rest of his career en route to being a two-time All-Big Ten member, an honorable bench at AP All-American, not to mention part of back-to-back Big Ten championship teams at Wisconsin. But that freshman season for him was memorable on many fronts. Of course, that magical ride in March of that year that led Wisconsin through first Salt Lake City, then Albuquerque, and on to Indianapolis in the Final Four. I asked Kirk what comes to mind when he thinks back to that freshman season of 1999-2000.
When I go back that far, and I'm sitting in the Kohl Center right now, one of the first things I remember is arriving here and how sparkling this place was and how beautiful it was. I'd come from New Zealand, and I was like just in awe that I might be able to play here. That was probably my first feelings. And then meeting the guys, Mike Kelly, Andy Kowski, Dwayne, Mark Verscher, all the John Bryant. I mean, just a great group of guys. And I thought that class, it was quite a big class, I think five or six players, Maurice Linton as well. They were really good buddies, and they were really tight. And I felt like coming into it, I was like, oh man, what a cool class. And I think that group, you know, really, you know, bound so together. They were such a team, and that was, you know, such a big reason for our success. You know, I think Coach Bennett, Dick Bennett at the time, you know, really, I mean, was a bit of a, you know, master, obviously, defensively, and we became such a strong defensive unit. It was very, very difficult to score in practice, which made it very, very difficult for us to be scored on in games. I mean, there were days where, you know, I had Mike Kelly guarding me, and I'm trying to come out turnouts and block a mover, and he's just running through the gap every time. I can't even get two hands on the ball. He was so good at it. And, yeah, obviously, you know, what we were able to do that season was very, very special. And every round we progressed, just the excitement just was just wilder and wilder. And what a fond memory, and what a great first year in the U.S. of A.
Yeah, absolutely. I do remember Mike Kelly talked about this a few years ago when they honored him for the 20-year anniversary. And it's easy to forget this, you know, with the magical run, but it wasn't all roses. You know, at one point, you guys were 5-8 in the Big Ten. There were bumps, but maybe that bond that you talked about, that helped everybody fight through the rough patches and end up the way this team ended up that year?
Well, yeah, I believe, I mean, when you've played long enough or coached long enough, you know that adversity, when it comes, it is how you deal with it. And that's where the gift lies, that if you deal with it well, then there's something special down the road for you. And I think with that group and other groups I played on here, we did start the year with a little bit of adversity and went through some things. And I think also in the Big Ten schedule, you know, in the conference schedule, it can't be mistaken that depending on when you play teams really affects your record at different points of time. If you do play a lot of really good teams early, your record might be poor, but you're a good team. And if you play, you know, maybe teams are in the lower tier of the Big Ten that particular year, you might look really good early but not be good late. But I think, you know, we did really grow as a team that year. I think we were an 8 seed going into that tournament, which is very much, you know, middle of the pack. But we played a brand of basketball which was so difficult to play against. And, you know, for the teams that saw us in the Big Ten, they were a little bit familiar with it. But when you played against a team of talent, like the Arizona team that year, like the LSU team that year, you really felt like at halftime you had them, because heads were dropped. You know, they weren't going to hit their averages, that's for sure. You know, and scoring 6 points at half against us was a pretty good effort, but they didn't know that. They were used to 16 at the half. So, you know, it was really difficult to score on us, and the pack was being played at such a high level. And we knew, I think, you know, we're playing against these talented teams, and I think I was the only professional to come from that team, the only player to go on and play professionally. So I think the guys had a real awareness of what we needed to do to win, and we had to defend.
You mentioned the frustration. The one that I remember, and maybe I have selective memory 25 years later, of a team that was, you said it was hard in practice to score against, you know, the Mike Kellys of the world. That LSU game to me in the Sweet 16, I mean, those guys, they were barking at each other in the first half of that game. I mean, was that, of all the games, was that the one that maybe stood out, like, for you guys who lived it, like, well, we've got this other team really frustrated?
I think in that particular run, every round had amazing merit. Like, I can't say that one stands out about beating Purdue in the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four. Like, that was an amazing moment. To beat Arizona, who was just stacked that year, I mean, that was an amazing moment. So I felt like every round had a different story, and we were very much the underdog, and we were able to find a way and break through, you know. And the Big Ten was just so strong that year. I mean, that's the last year that a Big Ten team won a national championship, you know. And then to have Purdue and us to go to the Final Four, then two Big Ten teams in the Final Four, and one of us won it. I mean, it was a year where really good defense survived, because you look at, you know, Tom Izzo, Gene Keady, and Dick Bennett. This three passionate defensive coaches.
I always remember, too, the last regular season game, Kirk, against Indiana, where you guys had to rally. It was actually Coach Knight's last game in the Kohl Center as the head coach of Indiana. You guys had to come back. You actually, you know, it was not a team that was going to win 85-80, but you guys, Dwayne, you know, had a big moment. Like, everybody over the course of the season had moments, right?
Yeah, I mean, that game came down to the final shot. I think Indiana missed a shot to tie it, I think, at the end. But, yeah, like, it was the games are always so close. And I think that's one thing. When you can't score well, but you're a really, really good defensive team, the games are going to be close. And you just have to hope that no one gets hot too late and makes two or three big threes and turns the game. And, I mean, every single, you know, when we would have, you just would be so tough in the last 2 minutes that you'd win, you know. And if you had did you have a 10-point lead, oh, it's over. That's like a 30-point lead, you know. And teams knew that.
Yeah,
they knew that. But also, if we were down 10, it was very hard for us to come back because of how we played, and we didn't have much pace at all. But, you know, what I learned, you know, starting there, then going on to play 4 years here, and then having a 15-year pro career. So in 19 years, I just learned there's so many ways to play and there's so many ways to win. And how we're playing now is obviously very different. But, yeah, that really made me understand just the power of defense. And when you play it really, really well, gosh, you can do it. You can do a lot with it and be really successful.
One of the things, too, Kirk, that I learned as a broadcaster or as a fan of the game is that you never know who's going to be the guy who rises up. I think of that tournament run, John Bryant, you know, doubling his season scoring average to get the most outstanding player of the West Regional. Every team is different, but I look at this team this season, and it could be anybody on a given night. You know, we know Tanjay, we know Blackwell, but Carter Gilmore, Jack Janicki, that's part of the beauty of it, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. I think what's really, really good about this year, I do think it carries over from last year with the continuity we were able to keep, I think, 9 players. And with what we're doing, the longer you're in this system, the better you're going to be. And the reads you start to make, I mean, those two back doors at Purdue, one to JT for the dunk and one to JB for the reverse layup, are just pure reads. Where, you know, as coaches, you're watching and you're sitting there and you're enjoying the show. You know, it's on them. That's where the players, you know, find their best when their best is needed. And it was just brilliant. And my hope is, as we progress through the end of this regular season, that we just keep getting better and better, and guys get more familiar, you know, playing in the system with each other. And you know, obviously then you just need to be able to make shots, and that's always been the game.
But the sense of calmness that this team shows and confidence that it shows, it's a mature team, and not just the seniors. Like you mentioned, JB, John Blackwell, is a sophomore, but maybe has the maturity of someone a little bit older than that.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I think we do have a mentally really tough group and a poised group, you know. And I think as coaches, we're always trying to do what we can to de-stress them, to take any tension out of situations You know, I mean, defensively is different. You're up in him and you're working hard and you're following principles and there's going to be tension. Offensively, you can just try to alleviate tension and just, you know, make sure they have space and they know where their pressure releases are. And I think the guys are just doing such a fantastic job of developing those skill sets.
As Badgers special assistant to the head coach and member of the Badgers 2000 Final Four team, Kirk Penny. Back to take a look at the rest of the Big Ten schedule this weekend as we continue in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
You know, Harvey, the seemingly purposeful no action. What's your sense on the leadership in the Dem Party right now, Harvey?
I'm ashamed of them. What did Trump have on all these people?
Yeah, right.
That we get this kind of silence. Will the Democratic leadership figure out that it's their task to start articulating a Democratic, small d, Democratic vision and project that these people can rally behind? Bam.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Call and make your reservations today.
Check out the Thursday schedule in the Big Ten Conference. Ohio State on the home floor against Northwestern. USC in College Park to take on the Maryland Terrapins. A Friday standalone game. It is one of importance. Michigan State and Michigan, their first of two matchups here down the stretch. This one in Ann Arbor on Friday night. On Saturday, in addition to the Badgers, you got Penn State at Minnesota. Washington is at Iowa. Duke will take on Illinois. Big non-conference matchup at Madison Square Garden. And on Sunday, it's Purdue at Indiana. Ohio State is out west at UCLA. USC heading east to take on the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Badgers and the Ducks on Saturday. Our coverage starts at 10. Tip time set for 11 a.m. as the Badgers try for their sixth consecutive win. Brian Butch and I will talk to you Saturday morning at the Kohl Center on the Badgers Sports Network from Learfield.
You've been listening to The Greg Gard Show, brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. President Trump's about to speak at the Republican Governors Association meeting in Washington, just hours after a federal judge denied a request by labor unions to temporarily block the Trump administration from carrying out mass firings of probationary employees and buyouts. It's a technical issue. The judge says the unions need to bring their case to another venue. New York City Mayor Eric Adams keeps his job for now. Governor Kathy Hochul says she won't remove him from office, but instead ask state lawmakers for more oversight of City Hall.
Those who argue just go and remove them fail to appreciate there is a process involved, due process, the length of the process, and the impact that such a process would have on this city.
After forensic tests, one of the four bodies handed over from Gaza to Israel today does not include a hostage, says the Israeli military, calls it a very serious violation by Hamas. This is ABC News.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Every story matters. And the Civic Media Radio Network.